From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Bob Garfield is away this week. I'm Brooke Gladstone. What goes around comes around.
President Obama is weighing possible military action in Iraq as Islamic fighters gain more control.
What Iraq is facing today is a deadlier and more ruthless occupation than ever existed during the U.S. occupation.
And at the center of it this time is the terrorist group, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. ISIS, whose brutal offensive launched almost 2 weeks ago, has left it in control of huge swaths of Iraq. In the region, it's deemed too extremist even by al-Qaeda. And here...
These are the vicious, the worst of the worst. If they get back into the United States or in Western Europe against Western targets, I see that as the biggest threat today.
Chairman of the House Committee on Homeland Security, Michael McCaul, sounds anxious, but Senator Ted Cruz cleaves as ever to his inquiring mind.
So I'll tell you a great question we ought to be asking right now is whether the Obama administration has armed ISIS. These radical Islamic
as we, mere mortals, reel in bewilderment, here expressed by Al Jazeera America.
At this point, who is the worst of the devils, this ISIL group that now dominates tremendous parts of Iraq and Syria, or Assad, who's fighting them? Now it just seems like the whole situation is confused. Iran could be an ally and Assad could too?
But as the mainstream media dithered, ISIS sallies forth in the message war principally on Twitter. For the past year, IntelWire.com editor J.M. Berger has been tracking ISIS's digital strategy, which he says is much better honed than its extremist competitors.
ISIS has taken to social media in a very systematic way. For instance, they created this Twitter app, which was designed to broadcast their message out at periodic intervals at a very high volume. And it was set up in a way to evade Twitter's algorithms to detect spam. Both Twitter and Google have now killed the app.
What was the principal content of the ISIS Twitter feed?
They would put out pictures and they would put out information about something that happened on the ground. It would tweet hashtags in order to get their content to show up in search results on Twitter.
What kind of hashtags?
For instance, on Sunday, they were using the app to tweet out hashtag for Baghdad. And if you search for Baghdad on Twitter on Sunday night, you would see a message from ISIS that said, "We are coming." They also, in recent days, have been trying to spam World Cup hashtags. They would send out messages with their content with a hashtag for the World Cup in order to try and get into that stream. And every now and then, you would see like an ISIS result in one of the top results. It was very effective, but it's also against Twitter's rules. It's a spam operation, basically, which is probably why they got shut down, not because of their content.
How long do you think they'll be shut down?
When Twitter puts its mind to it, they can get somebody to stop using their service. Al-Shabaab, the Somali branch of al-Qaeda, had a Twitter account that was fairly notorious for tweeting in English and putting out content about their stuff. And they started live tweeting the Westgate attack in Kenya last year. As a result, Twitter really cracked down on them. And not only did they kill the Twitter account, but every time the Twitter account came back, they killed it over and over again until they just stopped trying. ISIS is planning to do a big social media push to try and demonstrate how much support it has from around the world. And that big push is going to be significantly hobbled by the end of their spam robot. So we may see an effort to reconstitute this app from ISIS. In fact, I would expect that.
Now, there have been reports this week of a weird Twitter account that's been disclosing ISIS's secret workings as an attempt, I guess, to undermine the group. And it goes by the name Wiki Baghdadi.
Wiki Baghdadi is an account that popped up after the infighting started in al-Qaeda. ISIS is a splinter from al-Qaeda, and they have been really literally at war with the al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria, Jabhat al-Nusra. And Wiki Baghdadi showed up in the midst of this infighting to try and discredit ISIS. For instance, there's a big trend on both sides right now to leak audios that they claim are recordings of phone calls by one side or the other. People talking about issues that are ideologically problematic. We're talking about making deals with some of the more secular rebels or making deals with the Assad regime.
So a lot of the content has to do with who is purer than thou.
Well, the points of disagreement between al-Nusra and ISIS revolve a lot around methodology. So there's a lot of back and forth in their social networks, a lot of fighting over who's right and who's wrong and who's too brutal and who's betraying the Muslims and that kind of thing. They're trying to get people to defect. They're trying to attract local support. But ISIS is also making a bid to be really the leader of the global jihadist movement. They want to supplant al-Qaeda as the strongest jihadist group in the world, and their social media effort is a big part of that.
You know, in country after country, in revolution after uprising, we always talk about how important social media has been. And then in hindsight, it often worked as a trigger in some areas, but really wasn't ultimately decisive. Are we right to be focusing on ISIS's social media strategy here? I mean, is it different enough, do you think, to make a real difference?
Well, there's a huge amount of hype around social media use by extremists and by everybody else for that matter. Certainly the coverage of this week of ISIS on Twitter and on social media has been somewhat out of proportion to its importance. There's a difference, though, between how different groups use it. So, for instance, in Egypt, people were able to kind of self-organize using social media, and that's an important development. For ISIS, it's a different factor. ISIS is trying to attract donors, and it's trying to attract foreign fighters, volunteers, to come and join them. And for that purpose, social media is a powerful tool for them.
How do we know that?
Well, you can see it happening. There was a gentleman from the National Counterterrorism Center who described this as peer-to-peer recruiting. There have been cases where you see somebody who's on there with a casual interest who gets drawn into this and eventually goes there to fight. And the whole way along their trip, they're being assisted in communicating and doing the logistics over social media.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
J.M. Berger is editor of IntelWire.com, and he's been tracking ISIS's Twitter strategy for the last year. How did you even know about this organization a year ago?
Well, it was in the circles that I travel in, it was a pretty big deal. The split from al-Qaeda in this infighting is good for us in a lot of ways. The problem is going to be at some point these groups are going to want to compete in terms of what kind of damage they can do outside of the local arena. So when they start trying to one-up each other, that's when we're going to have to really be on watch.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.